But listen, Nathan, we're heading for the senior final. The Kilkenny team of 92 and 93 are being called out onto the field there now, but we're heading to the senior final, and this is the dream. Shohi on Ringlode, whether you're from Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sion in Waterford, Ballygalgan in Down or Loughrea in Galway, Ballyshannon in Donegal or Galmoy in Kilkenny, this is what it's all about. Every young hurler, no matter where you're from about 3-4 years of age, has dreamed of playing in an All-Ireland final, Nathan. Whether it's scoring the winning score, whether it's making that match-winning hook, that match-winning save, that's what you dream of. And that's what gets you out into the back gardens, evening after evening, weekend after weekend. For some of these players, they will realise that dream, Nathan, for the very first time. But for many of them in the Galway camp, it's the fourth time. And some two players, Kevin Moran and Michael De Brick Welsh, it'll be their second time in an All-Ireland final. So what a day we have in store. Waterford, they haven't won the All-Ireland since 1959. Nathan, the Beatles wouldn't be farmed for another year. Their first album, Nathan, was Please Please Me. How many Waterford people will be saying that for the 70 minutes today? Galway haven't been champion since 1988. The Irish people, including myself and Dai here, we would not know the name of that little Italian striker from Italia 90, Toto Schillaci, for another 2 years. How well would Toto play if he was out here today? The atmosphere is electric, Nathan.
Tommy, you guys didn't lose too many All-Irelands. Was there, in retrospect, ever anything consistent about the build-up or anything that happened, or was it just better teams on the 2 days that you did actually lose finals?
Well, the first one, we were going for the three in a row, 2004. We were after, it was the time of everyone was copying Clare's training methods, where you ran up hills for 2 hours and you did tackling drills for about 4 hours, and they were just cruel, cruel training times. But that was the thinking. You trained hard, you turned up then, and you played hard in the match. That was what, towards now, it's kind of diets and hydration, and it's more scientific, I suppose. So that's the way we trained that time. So we were 1-0, 2-0, 3. So going into the 0-4 final, our whole, I suppose, thinking was, we trained hard for the previous two All-Irelands, we won. Let's train even harder. But we could never get back up to those standards that we... Because, you know, we weren't fresh. We obviously weren't hungry.
Yeah.
It's like the old thing, like, you go to eat your dinner at 5 o'clock. If you have a bar of chocolate at 4:30, you're not going to eat it so fast at 5 o'clock. Well, it's the same thing. You're after winning two All-Irelands in a row. You're not going to be that hungry, you know, for the third one. And we were trying to push it and push it. So when it came to the final, the talk was that we were playing these huge, high-intensity matches in training. Cork were doing drills, very little games. So they came into the final then, and they just blew us off the field, hurling-wise, freshness-wise, everything. But it was just beaten. It probably didn't matter what way we trained. Cork were coming with a brilliant team at the time, and they're just better than us on the day. 2010 final then, same thing.
That must have been very hard for Tommy to admit there. Cork were brilliant. Coming with a really good team.
They were. Listen, we had our differences. We both had different ways of thinking about hurling, but there's no getting away from the fact they're a brilliant, brilliant team and very strong-headed guys. But then going to the 2010 final then, like, the whole thing came out after it was... There was 10,000 at our training the week before. That's why we lost. But sure, we love that. We love training in front of the big crowds. Like, the bigger, we were used to it. Like, our standards didn't fall off. We were ready for that final, except for Lara Corbett and all the boys turned up on the day, and there's a tip man, throw him out there. How did he sneak in?
Finally, everybody's unified.
So that's what happened. 2010 final, they showed up. Again, they had a brilliant team, but brilliant goal finishers. 0-9 final, like, it's amazing that Mary McAleese was talking about the nerves for the Waterford guys before the 0-8 final. I was sitting beside PJ Ryan in the Crown Plaza for the 0-9 final, and the two of us were there looking at each other. Everyone else was going out for a few pucks, and I wasn't able to drink me soup. He wasn't able to eat a sandwich, and we were just saying, how are we going to play a final now in two hours' time? He went out and gave the greatest performance a goalkeeper ever gave. So I don't buy into that whole thing either of nerves.
Nerves are good.
Nerves are brilliant, and... Listen, we all went through it. Like, that means you're up for it. That means you love the game. That means you're really want to win. So you just need to go on and deal with it. Like, I'm sure Kenny won 6 county finals. He won 1 or 2 Munsters. I'm sure he was fierce nerves for them finals too, performed. So what I'm saying is, I suppose, for the 2010 final, We just turned up. No excuses. They were the better team on the day, and they're just better. So you can't win them all, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, it was a funny story. Like, just I was booed coming in by the Galway lads. But what I will say is, my first match for Kilkenny was under 14 in a Tony Forrestal game, and I was marking no other than the legend Johnny Marr. And
how big was it then?
Myself and my father were still looking at the YouTube clips of him hitting all those lads in that county final a few years ago. I don't know, was it from Gurt or was it poor Tom? I think it was Gurt, was it?
Thomas's,
was it? It was the funniest. Boy, Mark Johnny Marr scored 2 points off me. I remember we were looking at the Galway lads. They had lovely gear. They were kind of beating everyone all around them. That was a Tony Forrestal. We went on and played Galway in the Nina Co-op, which is the under 16 All-Ireland. Ger Farrar was midfield, brilliant player again, scored 16 points. I think he scored most of them from play, from midfield. Knocked us out with that. But this is where the funny bit comes then. So we end up playing Laois in a Shield match. And you'd be talking about motivations. Our motivation, if you won the Shield, you got a new pair of boots. Everyone got a new pair of boots. So our manager, John McCormick, was on to us. Lads, we have to win this. We have to get those boots. So we were playing Laois in the semi-final. I'm not sure where it was. And we were beaten by 2 points. We're about, I think it could have been a minute to go or the last puck of the game. They got a free out in the 21 at the sideline. And one of the Laois lads went to take it. And I started shouting at him. I was on the goal. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You know, just before sledging or any of that. And that was our sledging back there. So the referee thought it was David Hershey. David Hershey was on goal. And the referee thought it was him. So he brought David Hershey out from the goal, start booking him. There was no yellow cards or red cards back then. So start booking him. So everyone on the sideline was giving out about David Hershey. What did the referee do? He brought the free from the sideline straight in front of the goal. Crazy stuff. What did the Laois lad do then? Put the ball down, buried it in the top corner. Laois bet as we were going home without no boots. And David Hershey didn't talk to me for 3 years. So that was my good stories. It wasn't always good news when we played Galway. But then, of course, that the red card came. It was just, you know, a slightly pull a bit to the left. But, you know, the red card came, and I suppose it's been all Kilkenny since.
And was the red card harsh, Tommy?
I'm sure. Listen, he's a defender. I'm a defender. There should never be any red cards in hurling if I was refereeing. But I didn't really see it. Now, right. The sun, you know, the sun was glaring down in his eyes. And there's another point for Kilkenny. So they are stretching out the legs now, because Wexford had to bring back a man, so any ball that's going up into that full forward line is being, I suppose, swept up by the Kilkenny spare man.
You've left me on a cliff there. So the sun was hanging into his eye, or shining into his eyes, and then what did he do?
The ball came down and kind of two of them kind of pulled, and you know, and it just kind of clipped
him on
the back of the helmet.
Come on, tell me what happened. It clipped him on the back of the helmet.
Yeah, but the ball was
that's
there,
a euphemism if I ever heard it.
The ball was there about, you know, just... It can happen so easily in this game, Joe.
It's happened to you many a time.
No.
Round one of the Leinster Hurling Championship gets underway very shortly. Well, continues, rather, after Galway's win over Offaly. Dublin, Kilkenny, Parnell Park. 2 o'clock throw-in. Tommy Welch, hello.
Joe, welcome to Parnell Park. The sun is out, Joe. The people are out. And we'll have a full house, I'd say, in a few minutes here. It's filling up nicely. And the Dubs are just after coming out to a loud cheer.
I'm told you arrived at 5 a.m. this morning.
No, well, I actually was up here since last night, Joe. My uncle is part of the Whitehall Column Kills Club just down the road, and the lip-sync competition. So I was asked just to help him out and be a judge. And the funny thing about it was, Joe, the guys that won, there were 2 guys dressed up as Rihanna. I was coming in the turnstiles today, and who let me in the turnstiles? Only your man dressed up as Rihanna. I said to him, he was looking better last night. So, yeah, I had the fry this morning in my Uncle William's house. The eggs, like my granny used to make them, they were done in Kerrygold butter and all. So, it was a great start to the day.
You've already peaked. You've already won the summer with that line.
Well, put it this way, the last time I was here, Joe, the last time I played Ibracuig in a competitive game for Kilkenny, about 15 minutes before half time, I was marking Danny Sutcliffe. I was going well enough. Next minute, he scored about 1-4 in that last 4 minutes, or last 10 minutes. I went into the dressing room, Joe, and near Honig May a mockery. So I wasn't back again. So it is kind of bad memories and good memories. But hopefully today, like, this is the whole point. Like, I'm excited about this home and away, the new structure to the Leinster and the Munster Championship. If we were going to Croke Park today, Joe, with, we'll say, 10,000 people in Croke Park, the game would be lost, or even in a neutral venue. Like, the atmosphere building up, like, the minor game was sensational, Joe. I don't know, did you hear anything about?
No.
There was huge scores, and if I just go back in the programme here, the full forward for Dublin, just after hearing from the man beside me here, Luke Swan, he's under 16 again, Nick, or he's under 16 this year. He was terrific, and if the full forward line for Dublin stay going the way that they were playing today, like, Dublin hurling, it is a bright future for him. But I suppose,
how did it finish up, Tommy?
There was Kilkenny won by about 7 points in the end, but like, up to about 10 minutes to go, it was goal for goal, pint for pint, it was fairly level, and then just Kilkenny took off in the last probably 5-6 minutes, I'd say. But up to that, it was a terrific game of hurling, and if you check the score, I don't have with me there now, but there was fierce high scoring, and like, for anyone, especially the neutrals coming here today, and just look, Taggy is after handing me the scoring, Dublin 4-12, Kilkenny 3-23. So as you can see, there was fierce excitement and great goal chances. There was a lot of goal chances missed as well, but the star of the show, to me anyway, was the Kilkenny centre forward. I haven't seen much of him, like, you know, you're busy with hurling that myself and that, but Kieran Brennan, I've heard a lot about him. He's from the Bennisbridge club there in North Kilkenny, and there's even talks of him on trials with Premier League clubs down through the years he can make. Nice. Hopefully he won't, Joe, because this guy was unbelievable today.
Before we talk senior, can I just check quickly?
Yeah.
There's a few texts coming in. They want to know which Rihanna song was sung last night, and also why there were two of them.
Yeah, well, sure, it's a fundraiser, and it's a bit of crack. Like, one of the guys came out singing, I don't know who sings it, but Singing in the Rain. It's not a Rihanna song, but then no. A kind of a character kind of a lad came out then, and with the umbrella, so
it was
umbrella song. And
I'm with you.
That was amazing.
I doubt it was amazing, but anyway.
It was, yeah.
So, you're a fan of the Round Robin series by the sounds of things, then you like the fact that we're having these provincial grounds, full houses, lots of games. You're all for this?
I'm all for it, Joe. Like, I'm all for atmosphere and excitement and entertainment and anything that brings on people and brings a kind of a love of the game to the people is what I love. Like, even the club games, when they bring a club league game to Nolan Park, I find, where every player wants to play in Nolan Park, but there might be 1,000 people there, but they're lost in it. Towards you bring them out to Ballyragget, or bring them out to Freshford, bring them out to Johnstown, the atmosphere is electric and it's much better. Well, it's the same with the county game. Like the buzz going around, even just the visualisation of it out here is absolutely terrific. And what I'm wondering is, like, you know the way in the Champions, like, it obviously is important, Joe, because you see in the Champions League, like, you get away goals and all that. So it obviously is important having a good home ground. What I'm wondering is, like, where's going to be the fortress this year? Like, where are teams going to hate going? Like, and I'm thinking of smallish grounds where the home crowd can really get on top of you. And I'm thinking of Parnell Park, I'm thinking of Ennis, I'm thinking of Wexford Park, I'm thinking of all these places. So like, over in the NFL, I know you cover all sports on Off the Ball, like, over in the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks with Pete Carroll and all that, and Russell Wilson as the quarterback, but they would be well known for the 12th man who is their supporters. And the noise levels they bring to a game, it's kind of louder than some earthquakes by all accounts. So I'm wondering, like, what are the home crowds going to be like? And if Dublin are to do well in this round robin series, I think Parnell Park is going to have to be a fortress starting here today.
I'll tell you what, Dave, you see some things at Electric Picnic. You go up to Body and Soul, you go into the Zen Arena where people are getting their massages and people are in their hot tubs and they're doing their yoga. You see all sorts of sights and sounds. I've seen some things over the last couple of days. But Tommy Walsh, front row for X Club 7, tops the lot. Tommy, explain yourself.
Nathan, these things that we speak about off air aren't supposed to make their way into the public forum. But I have to say, if any of the teams here give the exhibition S Club 7 gave last night, we're in for a good day.
How many of S Club 7 were there?
There was only three.
I hear.
Three actually performing.
For me, Nathan, was Rachel Stevens wasn't there. So it kind of half ruined it for me. But listen, we quickly got into it and we had a great night.
So who were the three?
The three. Well, listen, there was the blonde girl on the right.
Careful now. You weren't out with your wife, we should point out. Did you hang around for five or did you just leave it at S Club 7?
Yeah, well, listen, I had to go off there for a while there, maybe to get a few drinks and that, so I missed the start of five, but when I came back, they were in full flow, and it was great, to be honest. It was in the throwback tent, so it's like that, and we all love going back, I suppose, to our younger days, and but no, S Club 7 for me.
Wow. Tommy Walsh, what are you looking out on there?
I'm looking out at David Burke. He's coming up along the Hogan's, the steps of the Hogan stand. How beautiful does that sound for the Galway people, for the family of David Burke, for his club, St. Thomas's, yes, for his club St. Thomas's. He's hugging absolutely everyone. He's up at the top now. He'll accept that cup in a few minutes. The Galway Miners, it looks like, is out on the field with the Galway team. I see a Galway player jumping on the back of a James Skell. I played on the Super 11s with Skell, a real good guy, a real lad that trains really hard, and a great probably leader, although he's sub goalie. I guarantee he was a leader on that panel. So everyone is just going around hugging each other, kissing each other. I'm looking at Parigam, John Hanbury and Parig Mannion hugging each other. Them two lads hugging each other, die. Like, they are what to me wins All Ireland. Their skill, their heart, bravery. I'm here for you, you're here for me. And like, it's a joy to watch. Like, for guys that have had so much heartbreak for so many years to finally get over the line. Like, they can go home and sleep tonight and say, listen, we're champions at long last. No one will ever question us again. Do we have the bottle? When it's put up to us, can we do it? I tell you one thing, it changed the CV for a lot of these guys, because a lot of them are minors, 21s, Fitzgibbons, Canning now is going over, he's waving over to the start. Brilliant now, it's Aidan Hart actually. It's brilliant scenes in Croke Park, but it's devastation for Waterford. But they're young guys, a lot of these guys, Nathan, have 21s, they have minors, they have schools, Puma, Fitzgibbons, and they were heroic today, like, because it was tough. They were kind of battling against the tide all day, but they stayed going and going. Moore and Brick, Barron, all these lads, sure, they're great guys, and hats off. I know, listen, we have our disagreements with, we've different philosophies with the sweeper system and the traditional game, but I love Derek McGrath as a manager. Like, he took the year off last year I think it was because of his students in school, he wasn't giving them enough time. So listen, it's brilliant, and the president now is saying his few words, so the cup will be going across to David Burke very, very shortly.